Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us. We do realize that it's Friday night. You're supposed to be treating your baby right, but attending to the Word and getting an hour's worth of scripture after scripture after scripture and God's revelation on relationships is only going to help you, your family, your children, all of it. Amen. And of course, what we are learning is across the board principles that will help us with every relationship we have. It's bringing out the character of God for us to embrace, so that whatever relationship we have, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be as we're outside just doing our own thing, no matter what, these principles will help you and guide you. Amen. I am learning people so very much about how God sees things. And I've taught this many times, and now more than ever, I see it, that our world is upside down to what God meant all along. The devil has completely counterfeited everything. He has turned everything upside down, and it's not, we have to go against the flow to follow the ways of God, because it's not what is common out there. It's not what we learned growing up. It's not how we saw, for the majority of the time, our own parents and their parents and their parents and so on. But God is so good, and he wants to reap a harvest, people, of people that understood his ways, that understood his heart, that understood his design for things. You know, I really believe he's trying to win us in this hour and show us, look, this is what I meant all along. It was good for you. It was perfect. It was beautiful. But the sad thing is, we've gotten used to the counterfeit. We've gotten used to the way the world does it. Amen. And God's ways goes directly against those impulses that we've learned. So this is why it's very important. And we're going to continue on this till the Lord returns, I think, because we will never be able to exhaust. Do you even comprehend for a moment what it means to have other people in your life? Other people, no matter who they are, it could be a mate, it could be your mate and children, it could be just your extended family, it could be your mom and dad, it could be whatever it is, even friends. Either way, we have to understand how important it is for us to navigate our way through people, circumstances, the challenges, the trials, and come out on the other end without being a casualty, without end up losing everybody in our lives. I remember I was talking to one of my brothers, and you know, he was talking to me a little bit about a relative of ours, and they said, you know, they're getting older, and I don't see them getting nicer. And then this brother of mine asked, aren't we supposed to get nicer and kinder as we get older? And I didn't have an answer for him, because honestly, it all depends on the person. You don't even have to wait till you're old to end up well. Amen. So Swords Relationship Seminar, part 12. Amen. Glory to God. So a true biblical family, I'll always review this. The father is the covering. If I was the guy, I would consider that such a cool thing to me, to be a covering over the little brood, the little family, or the big family that God has given me. I would consider it such an honor to be an actual protection, a covering. I just tend to go in that direction anyway. I'm very protective of people in my life, you guys, the church, all of you, people that have called me for prayer, I follow them up. But I think it's so cool that a father, it's so manly to me. It's so respectable. It's so important. It's such a beautiful image to me that a man hovers over his family in protection. And as we're going to learn, it's protection, and then, of course, provision and being present. It's a three-piece. So anyway, the father is the covering. The mother is the heart. My mom had this beautiful spirit in her. We've been talking a lot about her. She was always like 16 in her heart, always singing in her heart. You know, she was just When I was growing up, as little kids, we saw this about my mom, very youthful. She said an atmosphere in her home. She was a lot of fun. And so the mother is the heart of the home. We are the thermostat of what's going on in our family, in people, in individual lives, our individual children, even our mates, of course. I watch over my husband. But we set the atmosphere for the home. Amen. And that's very important, people, because moms or wives, maybe you're just you, it's just you and your husband. It's very important because, you know, our home should be a safe place. Our home should be a fun place. Our home should be a place where people can let their hair down. Amen. Not a place where we're, you know, telling people what to do all the time. There's places, there's a time and place for everything. But, you know, if you want your children or grandchildren to really enjoy the clan, the home, and all of that, that's where we step in and make things fun. Amen. And then, of course, Jesus is our foundation. You can never, ever have any kind of a decent marriage relationship, family relationships, without Jesus being the foundation of our lives. I was watching this show, and I just got to tell you this. It was very alarming to me. It's of a different religion, and just how they view the family, how they view women, and how possessive and domineering and controlling that particular aspect of that culture is. Women are not to be free entities. They're not to be, not even allowed to walk with God, whatever God that is, on their own. Everything has to go through the man. And that happens specifically when a man has an intuitive understanding that I'm the leader of the home, but they don't understand that it's the spiritual leader of the home, where you bring in Christ, you bring in God the Father. And that kind of marriage situation in that particular culture is completely anti-Christ, because that is not what Jesus wanted for us. Amen. So he has to be the foundation of our marriages. And, you know, it behooves you, if you are in relationships with your husband, with your children, with your daughter-in-laws, brother-in-laws, son-in-laws, and so on, as it expands, it behooves you to make sure that Jesus is the foundation of your life, that you are submitted to him, so that your house will turn out the way that God meant it to be. Listen, God is smart. He is so smart. He is brilliant. And his ways work. And he has established a system where he knows people will be so happy that you will want to continue to walk with him. He's not going to bring in terror. He's not going to bring in a domination, a controlling, a dictatorship to any relationship. It's completely the opposite. Amen. And that's how he loves. He is not controlling. He is not dominating in any way. And he is not proud. He doesn't get his feelings hurt. He is just such a beautiful image of what absolute love is. Amen. Glory to God. In this hour, God is earnestly laying out once again his original plan for mankind. He is upturning what the devil stole and destroyed. He is redeeming all things for his people. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. He is redeeming our homes. He is redeeming our families. He is seeking to bring a quick work of healing and restoration if we will follow him now in this hour that we are in. You don't have to worry, oh, are they even going to follow? My kids are grown somewhat. I don't know if they're going to buy into what we're doing now. Don't worry about anybody. Only take care of you. Make sure that you individually is walking with God, receiving his plan for things, and everything else will begin to fall in place. He knows that if we continue like the world, then we will finish like the world. And we know where that's headed, right? For us, God is holy, So we must become holy. What we need to do, people, is start seeing ourselves handling the things of God with holy hands, with a holy heart. I will handle my family with holy hands, with loving hands, gentle hands, firm hands sometimes, but we will absolutely walk as God walks. He is holy, he is precious, he is loving, you know, but he is very strong, very firm. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and let me see, you might be, yeah, you are on. And we were talking about the hour that we're in, and, you know, for God, it may sound a little harsh, but his ways are non-negotiable. He has set before us precepts, and we either receive them or we don't. We either believe them or we don't. We either incorporate them into our lives or we don't. You know, but he is not negotiable about walking in love. There's never a time ever that we can say, Lord, you know this situation and it's impossible to walk in love. No, you continue to walk in love. You know, your job is to continue with God no matter what. Our families must be what God ordained them to be. Everything from the divine order. Imagine in a home where the father is in his place spiritually. Spiritually. We are talking about spiritually. There are some homes where the wife works and she makes a lot more money than even the husband does. It doesn't matter. He is the leader spiritually. And he understands leadership and submission from Christ, who he is submitted to. And then the wife, as she begins to truly see that her husband is embracing his calling as the spiritual leader, will automatically yield and submit to his leadership. I've talked to some women in the past, and they're like, oh yeah, my husband's the leader. My husband calls the shots. Not so much. Not so much. So, you know, it's got to be spiritual first, where you begin to embrace God first. And then, of course, the woman is submitted to him, and then the children will submit to the mother. A great part of a woman's life is to raise up the next generation for God. Amen? Not for herself, not for this earth. Not even for the husband. We are to bring our children before God, and we will. You will give an account for every one of your children, amen? And so we want to raise up our children now. We've got time. We have time. A little bit of time, but we have time to get this right. You don't understand, Pastor Eva. My kids don't even talk to me. They're everywhere. They're spread out throughout the whole whatever. That's okay. You pray every day, fast, pray, ask God to bring them in. He is the shepherd, the ultimate shepherd, amen? And then perhaps God will crack open a little crack for you to start gently loving them as the new you, as the new creation, as the born again believer, amen? And then slowly they will begin to receive you as well. I've seen it over and over, people, in both directions. People that didn't heed and just kept going and going and going, lost everything. You know how many funerals we've done where the whole clan is in complete division? They even argue about who's going to sit where at the church and then the funeral site. It's really crazy, amen? So we are going to be different. So our families must be what God ordained them to be. God hates counterfeits and deception. In this world, we are huge, huge, huge on status. We are huge on image. Look at our family. Look at how cool we are. Look at how everything is in place. But, you know, at the end of the day, God lives in your home. He knows the truth. And it is to him that we will give an account. You might not ever see me in heaven. You might not ever see Pastor Bill in heaven. So it's not about us or you having to listen to us. It's that one day we're all going to stand before God. Amen. And so he hates counterfeits and deception. And Satan is the original counterfeiter of all that is good and pure and godly. And if God cannot show us his way in this critical hour, then we are not his remnant. Now, I told you probably about maybe 6 months ago that God began to tell me, Eva, you have got to speak what I tell you because we are running out of time and my people need to get it right. They need to start operating in the promises, in my covenant. They need to start operating the way I've asked them to because my ways work. And it's the dividing of the sheep from the goats. That's what's happening. And if you hear something and you kind of let it wash over you and you're like, yeah, but she doesn't know. Or yeah, you know, that doesn't matter. That doesn't count with me because I have these situations that are very different. You know, then you're going to be the only exception in all of existence and eternity that God couldn't help, that God couldn't reach. Amen. So we have to begin to act like the remnant. We have to begin to act like those that love him, those that are following him, those that understand, those that don't want to be left behind. Amen. You know, I'm led by the Spirit of God to say this, and I know you love me, and I know you trust me. Otherwise, you wouldn't have showed up. But what if us not getting things right now, finally, in this last hour of mankind on the earth, what if us refusing to do things God's way will cause us to miss the rapture? What if because of one of us, our families can't make it? That's a very real possibility. Oh, no, Pastor Eva, God would never allow that to happen. Oh, no, you're mistaken. Ask Noah about that. You know how many fathers and mothers and children God left behind? This is serious. I'm cleaning up my act. I'm trying to remove offenses. I am trying to do things right so that it would be in this form of example. What if, and I've, oh my God, the things that we are finding right now, people, about ministries and wives and pastors and ministers and what they are doing, living completely like the world and think they can teach God's people. But what if I refused to be an example to you guys of a woman that submitted to her husband, of a woman that loves people, loves her church, and is there for the people in her church? What if I continued to act like I'm a millionaire and I don't really need you guys, which is what's happening right now to a few ministries? What if because of me, I caused you to stumble and then we together collapse before the rapture? We got to look at this very seriously now. We got to remove all offenses and you need to start protecting your testimony. And if you are a mother and a father and you have kids under you, even more so, they should not be catching us in duality. They should not be catching us in counterfeiting our walks because on Sunday, for an hour and a half, we are God's. And then the rest of the week, we are like the world. That cannot be. We need to make sure that our light is so bright that as this world gets darker and darker, people are going to flock to us, not continue to be washed away, and especially because of us. So this is pretty intense, amen? It's a very serious thing. So, and if God cannot show us his way in this critical hour, then we are not his remnant. We are Lot's wife. They were supposed to leave the city of tremendous sin and perversion, and now we're seeing worse than that. So we're getting ready, people. God's not going to allow us to stew in this evil that's just fermenting and fermenting. But if we don't embrace the ways of God now and make ourselves accountable, see, I'm accountable not to Bill, not even to my kids, not even to you guys, even though I firmly try my best. I'm accountable to God. And that's the thing, is that we have dodged that image. We have dodged that moment. You know, I mean, are you living your life now just for that moment when you stand before God? You know, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of tears. He literally makes it a point. I will wipe away the tears and the memories, because many of us are going to see how foolish we were with our time on the earth. Amen. This time, and I continue to embrace this. Pastor said it many years ago, and I love it. I teach it. He's not so sure about it anymore, but I am. This time on earth is for us to show who we've chosen to be. You are choosing your path. You are choosing to be a hearer only. You are choosing to be a hearer and a doer of the word. Amen. So we are Lot's wife. We are immersed in this world and its systems and its ways. Remember, God's ways are not your ways. So you must decide in humility that God knows what he's doing and that you are going to trust his leading completely. Amen. We must choose this day our path. Please don't hang up tonight and then just go right back to your life. And 5 minutes later, you're going to argue about what you're going to watch on TV and, you know, start drinking your little martinis and whatever it is that people do. I don't know. I don't live with you, you know, get in arguments or continue thinking about that person that offended me and they hurt me. And, you know, no, make the decision today that you hear what I'm saying by the Spirit of God, that you understand we're in a holy time, that this is a grace period, people. You know, it's a time for us to realize that God's calling us. He's calling us, amen? If God is real to us, then we better do it now. We better get it right now, amen? Praise God. Why are you talking to us like this, Pastor Eva? Because I love you. Because I love you. And I care for you. And I don't want to see any of you get left behind. Oh, Pastor Eva, do you have to approach it through fear? I mean, do you have to bring up the rapture all the time? Yeah, that's my job. I'm a spiritual influence in your life. And if I can't talk about the things of God, then what am I doing in your life? It is important for Pastor and I to be able to speak the truth in love, and then encourage you. Come on, let's go. Get up on your feet, soldier. Let's go. You can do this. Amen. And as I have always told you, and I will continue to tell you, your greatest battle, your greatest challenge, your greatest overcoming is going to be you. Not your wife who is a torment, not the husband who doesn't understand you and he's just, you know, shut down and he doesn't care, not the kids who no longer need you. None of that is going to be a greater challenge than you destroying, not even destroying, you literally walking out like a snake does from their old skin, you walking out of that old man. It is a time to embrace the new creation. Amen. There's a lot of people that get, I talk to a lot of people. The other day I ministered to 5 people. The whole day I was ministering and it was very, very serious things, you know. And honestly, I was talking to them about this particular thing and I was telling them that, you know, the time to become the new creation is now. And we are on a short path here. We don't have, I'm not 15 and I can wait till I'm 80 to get it right. No, we're all heading in the same direction day by day. Amen. And especially if the rapture happens. So shed that old skin, that old man, that stinky, rotten thing. Step out of it and become the free, glorious spirit that God has made you. Amen. You are brand new and you can. See, the old man, the old man will not do the word. He will go a few days. Oh, good. I did. 2 days was good. Something happens on the third day and you fall right back to square one. The old man doesn't like doing the word. It rejects the word. It can't even discern between the good will of God and the way of the world. Amen? So it's important for us to choose this day our path. Do it today. Amen? Don't wait for some huge monumental moment. You know, when you got born again, you chose that moment and said, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to receive the Lord. And you did it. Do the same for becoming the new creation and becoming a doer of the word. Amen. God doesn't have a plan. God is the plan. Deuteronomy 11:13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey the commandments which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. See, we can be deceived, people, so easily. It's like, oh, I'm a real strong Christian. I show up every Wednesday and every Sunday. What about all the time in between? How much are we being doers of the word then? Amen. So take heed for yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. What are other gods? Anything that is dominating your attention, your time, your love, something that you have an affinity for that's stronger than for God, that's a god. Amen. People, you may not believe this, but your kids can be your gods. Your job can be your god. Money is certainly a god. Your house can be a god. Your friends can be a god. Your hobby can be a god. What is in there that you love more than God? Well, Pastor Eva, I love God more than anything else. You just don't know me. You can't judge me. Well, is God dominating your time, your heart, your attention? That's how we know. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. I was once praying for a woman who, you know, was about to leave her husband. And, you know, she's got her reasons, but, you know, that's not for me to judge or anything. But, you know, I went to pray over this because it was very sad to me, you know. And it's like, you know, you've heard the expression, there's many fish in the sea, you know. And, you know, the world is full of guys. The world is full of women. So, you know, if this one doesn't work, delete it. Next, moving on. And this person was saying that, right? And I stopped for a moment and I just listened to my heart. I do that a lot, by the way, when I'm with people, wherever I am at. If I'm watching television, I'll stop and just talk to God. You know, anyway, I talked to God and I said, Lord, what do you say about that? You know, because, and I couldn't even share this with the person, but the Lord told me, if that woman leaves, I will shut up her well and no man will ever see her or look at her. God can do that, people. He can shut up things from happening. Why? Because he says that covenant is, I come to you, but you come to me. I do my part, but you do your part. That is covenant. See, covenant is different from the things that we can't earn from God. A lot of people misunderstand that. For instance, the blessing of healing. You can't earn healing. That's a promise. You can't earn salvation. That's a gift. God has given us many things freely. But if you're going to go into covenant with God, then he expects you to hold your side of the bargain, amen? He expects you to walk as a man, including us women. He expects us to be covenant people and keep our side of it. And he does get, look at what he does. You know, he does get a little furious when we go after other gods. And one thing I will say, which was on me all afternoon, I just kept thinking about this, is that, honestly, people, here's the truth of all truths. There's only two ways. There's only two paths. We've bought into the lie that we have a million options. Now, within those two paths, you absolutely have a million options. But your life is much more simple than you think. There is God and there is Satan, the counterfeit God. Before man fell, there was only God. We only were able to choose him and walk with him because we saw his goodness and his love. But now there's two camps. We have God and we have Satan. We have life and we have death. We have blessings and we have cursings. Amen? But at the end of the day, in some ways, your life is restricted. There are people that, oh, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in Satan, and all of that is a fairy tale, and so I've chosen my path and my way. That person is so deceived because they're actually choosing the way of the world, amen? And Satan is the ultimate counterfeiter and liar. So at the end of the day, all of us only have always had two choices. And then when you go into those, let's say you choose God, then you're going to choose God and his way. And in doing that, you're going to reap incredible, incredible blessings. Just like if you go to Satan, you're going to reap whatever he has for you, which is to rob, kill, and destroy. But at the end of the day, we only have two choices. And so if we say to ourselves, I've chosen God, I'm going to go God's way, and we're toying with the world, or we don't look any different than the world, and you know, we're telling ourselves, like this scripture says, lest you be deceived, you know, and you turn aside to serve other gods. You know, I'm sorry to tell you, but existence is not as glamorous as the devil has made it seem. Our job is to choose the path and quietly go into that, or, you know, with all kind of ruckus, go towards the devil. But at the end of the day, there's only two things, people. And that's why God knows who are his own. Because we have put our hand to the plow. We don't look back. We have taken up our cross and we follow him daily. Amen. We are those that follow Jesus. We learn from Jesus. We are doers of the word as well as hearers. Amen. And people have been so deceived. It's like, I have choices. I have many choices. I can do whatever I want and nobody can tell me what to do. Well, you're right. You do have the ability to choose whatever you want. But then you will also reap from those choices that you are making. Amen. Praise God. Revelations 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly. And he is. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the red heifers and the sacrifice. They are supposed to, supposedly on August 3rd, they already had a trial run they sacrificed a heifer to make sure that everything worked properly. This is a very, very, very sacred and holy operation. When they are sacrificed, the heifers are sacrificed, then the blood is used to purify the ground where the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is going to be built. And this Temple Mount has to be built in order for the Lord to return. Jesus is going to descend on the Temple Mount, and that's already underway. And what I've heard is that they have the building materials. This is the last report that I heard from what I considered a viable source. They have the most of the equipment and tools and everything that they need to build the Temple Mount. Amen. So he is coming quickly. And my reward, which means pay for service, literally or figuratively, good or bad. See, you're either going to get blessing or something else. Amen. Glory to God. And then to hire, reward, and wages. And the reward is with me to give to everyone according to his word. So see, we can put on, you know, a really good image. We can say, oh yeah, I'm following God. Oh yeah, I'm a believer. Oh yeah, I'm born again and all of that. But it's the Lord that knows your works. Amen. And he is the one that we're going to give an account to, all of us, including me, including Pastor Bill, including everybody. Amen. The holiest person and the most evil person. We're all going to stand before God and give an account for our lives. Amen. I like this picture, like it or not, our King is coming, and he is, amen. So why did I put this particular scripture of Revelations is because I wanted you to see that there are rewards for serving the Lord. I don't even understand God. He is just so good that he makes my mind tilt. Is that why would God have to reward people for following him? If he just told us, look, follow me, I'm going to ask a lot from you. You owe me your life, you owe me everything, but I'll make sure you get into heaven. But you know what? Every step of the way, he offers rewards, he offers blessings. Follow me, follow me. He's not trying to buy us, he's not trying to con us. That is who he is. He loves blessing, and obedience is highly blessed. Amen? Praise God. The will of God is our purpose. Now, I'm going to get into some things here, and, you know, we have a little time. I want you to hang in there with me. This is a challenging thing. We're all going to be challenged right now, all of us, I promise you, because, you know, especially after the pandemic, some things happened to us. It did to me. My little mind went, quick. I'm like, Lord, what the heck just happened? I was like the first one. God leads me all the time. I was the first one that saw the images coming out of China and literally people dying on the streets. There were people on the streets dying from COVID and people just horrific. I won't get into details. I sent you guys the link so you saw them. And when I saw that, I knew that we were going to be in a flood of people that weren't prepared for something like that. So my mind tilted a little bit. Will we be able to hang in there with everybody? And we got calls from people that we didn't even know. I'm serious. I ended up praying for a group of 300 people in Texas. That got really sick from COVID. And they were from Texas. I never knew them. I mean, miracles, just, I can't even begin to explain to you all of it, because that's not what this is about, amen? So, the will of God is our purpose. Did you hear that? What's my purpose? Why am I here? To do the will of God. What's the will of God? Get in the Word. You will have the will of God flooding you, amen? At the end of the day, the will of God is doing his word. It's serving him whenever we can. Amen. So the will of God is our purpose, both on earth, in heaven, and forever. Forever, we are going to be involved in the purpose of God. Amen. Hopefully you're being involved in the purpose of God now. John 4:34, this is Jesus. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I think you will know if you're on the right track with God if you can start saying this. My food is to do your will, Father. You sent me here and I will finish your work. We are to finish his work. Amen. Glory to God. Yep. Oh, my mind's just going in a million directions, but I'm trying to stay on track. What gets in the way of us fulfilling our purpose? Now get ready. Hang on to your seat. Here we go. What is getting in the way of you fulfilling the purpose of God? Pride and arrogance. That's the first thing. And you don't even have to say a thing. You don't even have to say, no, I'm not going to do God's will. No, I'm not going to do, I'm not going to do the word in my home. No, you don't even have to say it, but we can think it and not do it. Amen. Where we think, see, the thing about pride, people, that is very, very scary to me, is that when we are proud and arrogant, we honestly believe we know better than God. That's the truth. Because the minute you know who God is, dear God, you want to cower under his majesty and authority and power and energy and his goodness and his mercy. But when we're proud, we have a better way. We know better. We know what's right. Distractions. Everything can be a distraction. Oh, I'm getting old. That's a distraction. We're not supposed to lay down and just, oh, I'm old, so I can't do anything. Dude, if you can move your lips, pray, pray, pray millions in to the kingdom of God. Oh, I can't really serve in church. Oh, I really can't do that. And, you know, I got five kids and, you know, one on the way. And so, no, I'm not going to be able to. Those are all distractions, people. And then no divine order in our lives. Jesus isn't in his place in your heart. The husband isn't in his place. The wife isn't in her place. And I'll be honest with you. It all starts with Christ. Technically, ladies, we're supposed to submit to Christ as much as our husbands. If the mother and father are submitted to Christ, the children will automatically come in. Trust me, it works every time. But if the husband submitted and the wife's doing her own thing, she's going to disrupt the whole order of things. Amen. Or vice versa. If the wife is in her place and she's the one taking the kids to the church and the husband could care less, then he is disrupting the divine order in the home. And certainly, if the head is all discombobulated and not in unity and divided, then certainly the kids will follow suit. You know how many parents I've had say, I don't know why my kid beats up his sister, or why my kid beats up the brothers, or why there's always fighting in our house. Because you fight. Because the parents are fighting. It's a spirit you brought in, and now it's infesting everybody. Just like you can bring in a good spirit. A spirit of giving, a spirit of loving, a spirit of hospitality. Amen. And then laziness and complacency. That's a lot of it happened from the pandemic. We got used to being at home. You know, in 1 week, we're going to be in our little new meeting place. It's a meeting place. It's not our building yet. And it's going to be very interesting to see who comes. Now, we are going to be missing something like 12 people because this was a pre-planned situation. They're going to be out of town, everybody. So we're going to be missing a good 12 people. But it's going to be very interesting to see who comes back. You know, some of you didn't know and you accidentally turned on the video in the early days. People were laying on their bed on Sunday morning. People were eating breakfast. People had their hair all over the place, you know, because, it's rest time. I can kind of hear the word and still be in my own house, in my comfort. That's going to be shaken up. It has to be shaken up. We all have to wake up. Amen. It's time to go. It's go time. So laziness and complacency. Wanting to build our empires here on earth versus God's kingdom. This will definitely get in the way of us finding our purpose and fulfilling it. Amen. It's shocking how much we think that, you know, as long as I'm working, God's going to be okay with that, right? No, that's what I'm trying to teach you. God had a whole different way of man providing for his family and the way the house was supposed to be. Amen. So a complete lack of God's agape love, because that has always been the mission of God. If we're not growing in love, you know, at the end of the day, people, this is very simple, but it's the truth. We're here to spread agape love, the love of God. That's why you're here. If all I'm saying right now about purpose is not hitting you, then just realize that you were sent here as an agent of God's love to extend it to as many people as we can and to show them a whole different way, because the world is the opposite of God's love. And then the love of money. Absolutely. God talks about that. You can't love God and love money. Oh, I don't love money. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Amen. The love of money. And then self-willed. You know, I'm having a hard time submitting to all this. It's really hard for me to even think about doing this. I don't know what Pastor Eva's talking about. You know, I'm just going to do my best and see what happens. And then religious thinking. You know, the way we learned it growing up, you know, that we go to church for an hour. We hear, one guy used to say, we go to church and then we hear a 20-minute sermonette and then we go out and do a cigarette. because, you know, we think religiously that, oh, I'm following God. I'm doing so well because I'm at church on Sundays and sometimes maybe even on Wednesdays. You know, and that's religious thinking. This is a life. It's a lifestyle. Amen. It's not something we put on or a hobby or a duty that we perform. You know, so anyway, religious thinking. And then loving this life more than the Father or our eternity. You know, I am running into this people. It's like a huge wall, a massive wall that I'm running into in people who are trying to live the best life before this life ends, because the rapture is going to happen very soon. So I'm going to live it up. You know, Paul said that. He said, if there is no Christ, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's how some Christians are living right now. Absolutely out doing their own thing. Everything's more important than God, than church, then serving him, and at a time when we should be flooding and going towards God. So, yeah, don't love this life. Say goodbye to it. You're on your way out. And if you are not, if you are caught with your little hands, you know, in your little bank accounts and your little treasures and everything that you love here and your special boat or your special, I don't know what it is, your special golf clubs, your special cars, your special, you know, houses, whatever. If you're hanging on to that, you're going to be weighted down. We got to be ready to go at any moment. Amen. Say goodbye to all this. Say goodbye. Kiss it goodbye and just say, I am not attached to anything that's in my life. I love God and I want to go with God. Amen. And that's what we have to be, people. Trust me, God talks to me and it's like, Eva, do you love these more than me? Do you love anything more than me? And it's a challenge, people. It's like, no, Lord. No, Father, if you came right this second, I'm ready to go. Amen? So, seeking luxury and comfort. Oh, my goodness. This is so important, people. Because especially in America, the strongest and most prosperous nation in the world, according to everybody's report, we strive for comfort and we strive for luxury. So let's look at this. The deception of luxury. What is luxury? They made us believe that luxury was the rare, the expensive, the exclusive, everything that seemed unattainable, so we kept striving for it throughout our lives. The more rare, the more we wanted. I've gotten into watching because it's a little safer, a little nicer. I've gotten into watching Antique Roadshow. Some of my sisters watch it too. And the more rare something is, the more people pay for it. I have seen paintings that somebody bought for $5 at some garage sale sell for $800,000 because it was so rare and so special and so precious. So we want the rare, because look at what I own and look at what I got. And so we're going after the things that are luxury, amen. But in time, the wise begin to realize that luxury were those little things we didn't know how to value. Our ability to see this simple, godly, and precious truth of life was blurred by our pursuit of all other things. And we are pursuing things versus the luxury, the true luxury that we're surrounded with every day. So luxury is being healthy. From God's point of view, if you are healthy, you are living luxuriously. Luxury is not having to step into a hospital because of an emergency, whether it be yours or a very dear loved one. Luxury is being able to walk along the seashore. There are many people that can't do that. It's a luxury to walk on the sand, admiring God's beauty in the ocean and the water, and meditating on every pebble of sand that you're stepping on. Luxury is going out on the streets and breathing without a mask. Glory to God, people. No pandemics, none of that. Remember how horrible it was in the first year. And then luxury is meeting with your whole family and all your friends. When you are surrounded by family and friends, bask in that. You are living in luxury, that people came to your home, that you are able to bless them and minister to them, that you are hospitable. Amen. Smiles are luxury. The first time I went to Russia, one of the first things that was told to me by an interpreter, I remember this young man was helping us, because they would appoint some of the younger guys in the church to help us with our luggage, because a lot of the people that went to the mission field were women. And so they would help us with our luggages, because sometimes we had to rush and catch trains and buses and all kinds of things, right? And I remember this one young man was looking around at our group. He was standing up at the front of the bus and looking around. And then he told something to the interpreter. And I asked the guy, what did he tell you? Because I saw him looking at all of us. And he was in wonder. He was full of wonder. And then he told what the interpreter said is, he said that he has never seen. Oh my God, I want to cry right now. He has never seen so many people smiling and so full of life. He was blown away, people, because when you looked at the Russian people, this was back in 1995, they were just coming out of very serious dictatorship. They were very impoverished. It was a very, very sad, sad place to be in Russia and the Ukraine. And he could not believe. And then I heard a couple of other times of other Russians when we were on the boat, on this huge cruiser boat thing going down the Volga River. I remember that we were with pastors from all kinds of churches in the Ukraine that were springing up like crazy. And they said the same thing, that we were the most kind, the most happy people that smiled. They didn't eat. It's like they had lost their smile. So a smile is luxury. When someone smiles at you, be blessed. Imagine if we all had the horrible frown all the time. A smile is a luxury. Hugs and kisses are luxury. Oh my God, people, don't wait till you are like me and your children are grown and out of your home. And then you miss those tender, tender hugs, the kisses that your children gave you that were worth gold. I would give anything to be able to hold them both in my lap and just love on them. The hugs and kisses. And I taught my children, and I read this in an article, a few articles actually, that when you hug someone, you help them live longer. And so, you know, in our house, we hug. We hug all the time. My husband and I, we hug all the time. You know, he kisses me all the time. I kiss him all the time. you know, and that's a luxury. I live in luxury. Would I rather have a mansion or a man that sometimes goes and looks for me to see that I'm okay in this tiny little house we live in, and he holds me and he kisses me? What do I want? What is more important to me? You know, a loveless marriage in a huge mansion, or having this beautiful affection and kindness? So hugs and kisses are a luxury. Luxury is enjoying every sunrise. Why? Because you're alive. You made it another day. And then every sunset, because you finished a day, and hopefully it was a good day. Amen. Luxury is the privilege of still loving, because it means we're still alive and breathing and able to carry out the greatest of mandates. That's so important, people. The fact that we're still alive gives us an opportunity to do good on the land that we're living in. Amen. Even if it's God, help the earth in Jesus' name. Something, anything to bring goodness. And then all these beautiful gifts from the Lord are what true luxury is. So stay grateful. Amen. A comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. Think about that. When we're comfortable, we're not growing. When we are growing, we are being edgy, we are being raw, we are being alive, we are pushing, we are challenging ourselves. But when we're comfortable, let me relax in my plush little sofa. Amen. And then a man without spiritual purpose, which becomes a godly compass. See, your purpose becomes your compass. It's going to guide you. It's going to lead you. So a man without spiritual purpose, which becomes a godly compass, will find himself lost and migrating into a life of comfort. I don't know why, but I've seen this a gazillion times. A man is either full of purpose or full of comfort. That's just the way it is. I'm telling you. And then this next one is intense. Weak men create hard times. Huh? It is the valiant, the one that fights against comfort and embraces growth, power, and purpose, that is prepared against that day of hard times. So not only can you stop the hard day, but you're not going to create the hard day. And I've seen this too, people. When a man is not leading, when a man is not in his place, or when they call it masculine power, when a woman is higher in her masculine power than her feminine power, and a man is possibly higher in his feminine power and then lower in his masculine power, then because he's not in his place, hard times are going to come. It's the truth, people. Think about it. The world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. Comfort is the death of greatness. Oh, my goodness. Trust me. Preaching to the choir. You know, one finger's pointing at you, and I've got four pointing at me, amen? Or three fingers. And then the last one is, life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose. When a person is doing nothing for God, you know, you have a conscience. You have a conscience. And that inner person is speaking to you and saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Every day goes by. What are you doing? You're living in the lap of luxury and comfort. You don't even have to have a lot of stuff, people, to have a spirit of comfort and luxury on you. What are you doing? So that little nagging voice in the back of your mind, your head, is not going to let you loose. You're born again. It's going to keep reminding you, and nothing, is made more unbearable than the lack of purpose and meaning in life. I'm going to do one more and then we're going to stop. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 3, 1 through 2. This is a true picture of covenant with God. First, we keep his commandments and his mandates, and then we go into supernatural covenant with him. Amen. So, building to last, if you're going to be a covenant man, we're addressing the men, but also this applies to the women and the children. Building to last, a covenant person is one that builds, not tears down or quits on or walks away from. If you are married, hopefully you're going to table the whole thing of, I've got options. They don't appreciate me. I'm moving on. And vice versa for women. Hopefully you're going to start building. Stop tearing down. You know, it baffles me so very much. So very much. Because I did it. Sometimes Bill did it. And a lot, I would say everybody does it, not all the time, but everybody does it. It's why we tear down the one person that's in our corner that we are partners with in life. Why would we tear down people? You know, you can tear down someone in your mind. You may not have the courage to speak up and tell them how you feel about them, but you may think it, and your actions will follow your thoughts. So why are we tearing down that one person that is stuck by us? We have to realize, people, that, you know, we've got to start building. I am in communication with my children. I love them beyond words, and I'm always sending them stuff. Little things. Son, I'm so proud of you. I love you, son. I'm praying for you. I pray for nothing but the best for you in this life, Brian. And, you know, the same with my daughter. I do the same with Zoe when I'm able to. She's living her own life. She's 21, so she's just living her life. And I tell my husband, I build my husband. I tell him how important he is. Not only to me, but to God, to the church, to you guys. I tell him often the effect that he's having. I tell him how unique he is and was since the day I met him. A covenant person builds. Why do we major on the negatives? Amen. And, you know, if your mate is not looking like, you know, the 16-year-old that you fell in love with, don't tear them down in your mind. Love them. Thank God they're still here. Thank God that they've been able to stay alive this long. Try to find the good in them. Amen. So a covenant person builds, not tears down or quits on or walks away from. God does not. He does not have anything to do with a covenant breaker. God's covenant, dude. He is covenant. But he's serious about covenant. Why? Because it's written in the blood of his son. We have a new dispensation, a new covenant that is better than any of the covenants that were before. And it includes those. But you have to understand how much God appreciates a man where he says, when he says, I am here and here I'll stay. I will not break my vow. Next is build to last forever. Remember that image that I gave you guys? God showed me all of this. God showed me all of this. How you can build a cardboard box in 5 minutes with duct tape. Or you can spend 100 years building walls that are 9 feet deep. And I've seen buildings like that in Russia. And they last forever. I saw a house that was built in 690 AD after Christ, but it's like from 690. It's still standing. I saw it. It was a beautiful little cottage, to be honest with you. So are you building to last forever? I'm building now so that when I just want to cry, when I see my husband in heaven, I'm not mortified at how I treated him. That I am grateful that I learned the word and that every day that went by, I did good to him, because that's what Proverbs 31 says. She will do him good all the days of her life. Little ways, silly ways, any way I try to do good to my husband. But are we building to last forever? What kind of relationships are you taking over to the other side? Because you're going to know your wife. You're going to know your kids. You're going to know them. How are they going to look at you? And then understands that vows are never to be broken. Our word is our bond, period. Make covenant. Make covenant with God. Make covenant with your partner. Make covenant with your kids. Make covenant with your pastors. Make covenant with your church. Make covenant. You know, we do it in the world all the time. We pick up partners in business. Let's build to last forever. Amen. And our word is our bond. Close that door to, I kind of like that guy at work. And he's been paying a lot of attention to me, and my husband never pays attention to me. Close that door, please. And then understand that God always makes and keeps covenant because he himself is a covenant God. Very important. Amen. So we're going to pick up. Oh, yes. This is a good place to stop. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me. People, I know it's strong. And you know what? I can't help it. I pull back so much of what I could say because I love you. And I want you to keep coming back. Amen. But honestly, what God is having me do is when I speak strongly or you hear something that you go, whoa, that was strong or that was too much. Understand that God is bringing the salt back into his body. He's bringing back the salt, the core of our person, our character as children of God. Amen. And so it's going to be strong. Strong teaching brings back the strength of God and the word of God in his people. I love you. Thank you, Imelda.